A few announcements before the homily. First, a reminder that right after Mass, we have our weekly novena to St. Diphna for all those who are fighting emotional or psychological challenges. I think it's beautiful that we can offer these prayers to this Irish maid on this Feast of St. Patrick. So if you're able to stay for those prayers, I know they would be very beneficial to those who are struggling in these different ways. So I hope you can stay. After the novena, I'll be at the confessional if you have any need of that sacrament. And then the deacon will expose the Blessed Sacrament. We have adoration until 2:15 and then benediction today. Reminder that tonight we have our Bible study at 6:45. We're going to talk about that mysterious figure of Melchizedek. We talk about him, we invoke him during the Roman canon, during the Mass. So it's important that we know who he is. So I hope you can tune in today. It premieres at 6:45. And then afterwards, at your convenience, it's available on Grace Lily. Reminder that after tonight, the Bible study is on a 3-week hiatus. We resume on April 14th. A few other quick things. Reminder of the Mass of St. Joseph on Friday. Are you guys excited about this? I am very excited about this. I'm looking very forward to this Mass. So 7 o'clock, everyone is welcome, especially those who are planning to make their preparations, who are concluding their preparation to make that consecration to St. Joseph. So that's this Friday. Don't forget, this weekend, after all the Masses, we have confessions, an opportunity we provide here at Our Lady of Grace on the third weekend of every month. And two things to our friends. Did you realize we have so many friends who tune in from Ireland? They are now on almost 13 months of lockdown. Right? Remember we were on that lockdown for 2 months, how terrible it was? They have been in that state for over a year. So one of our friends, Margaret, emailed me and said, "Father, pray for us in Ireland. We have not had the Eucharist in so long." So to Margaret and our Irish friends, we say hello. We pray for them. We ask that the Irish government lift those sanctions. It looks like it's not so much public policy as a punitive measure against the church. So let God's people worship him. So we pray for the good people of Ireland. Also, I saw on Twitter a Catholic professor, very well known, who said the recent decision of the Vatican, recent decision, in terms of the church cannot bless gay unions, this isn't a recent decision. We've been teaching this for 2,000 years, folks, right? So it's more like a Vatican affirmation, right? But he says the recent decision of the Vatican has only proven to young Catholics that the church is pro-homophobic, right? Now, as a pastor of souls and as one who teaches at a Catholic college, I know that it's my responsibility, especially to our young who are so just filled with popular culture, to explain and defend the teachings of the church, right? So to have a Catholic professor bragging about his misunderstanding of his students and his failure to teach them is, of course, the signs of the times. So the church is not homophobic. She loves all men and women. The church also honors the sacrament of marriage and the sexual act. She calls sin, sin. It's a disordered affection. The church speaks truth. Professors are supposed to teach their students, right? So to that professor and to any Catholic professors who choose to throw Mother Church under the bus, we say charitably, stop, stop, right? Enough. Fulfill your responsibility, the job you're being paid for by a Catholic college or university, and teach your students the Catholic faith. So, name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, dear friends, here at Our Lady of Grace, we've been walking through all the different parts of the Mass during our daily Masses in this Lenten season. Yesterday, we spoke about the Creed, and I was going to try to cram the prayers of the faithful in there, but I thought, you know what, we need to give the prayers of the faithful their own focus, because these are important prayers, oftentimes overlooked, and admittedly, in many parishes, exaggerated. You have so many intentions, right? Mother Church doesn't envision that. The prayers of the faithful should not be this long litany. It's not the litany of the faithful, right? It's the prayers of the faithful. And where do these come from? Well, it used to be, you might recall, that the ambo was here, and then there would be other steps that would lead up to the altar, where the priest would offer the sacrifice. And oftentimes, this would shock us now, but in the early church, in the times of the Middle Ages, as the priest was making his way up the steps in order to begin the offertory, the faithful would yell out intentions, right? Can you imagine that, right? So you would yell out intentions, right? You know, for my mother, you know, for physical health, right? So they would yell it. They're called the bidding prayers, right? So they would yell, and you could do it all the way until the priest got to the predella, the top step, and then they stopped, right? Because you don't yell once the priest begins, right? But they would just yell these prayers, right? It was a beautiful custom. It came right from the pews, right from the people of God, because they understood how powerful the sacrifice was, and they wanted to make sure that they offered this particular intention as the sacrifice, the liturgy of the Eucharist, was about to begin. The Second Vatican Council decided to formalize that, because that had faded away for the past several hundred years. The Vatican Council thought, we need to bring these back and allow a place in the Mass where specific intentions can be stated. So, for example, when we had the problem in Texas, all these people were freezing, and there were a lot of deaths and suffering, right? Well, there's nowhere in the liturgy that would pray for the freezing temperature in Texas and so on, right? So how could we offer formal prayers within the Mass? So the Second Vatican Council said, well, let's include, formalize these bidding prayers as the prayers of the faithful, the general intercessions, on any specific needs that are happening. So the prayers of the faithful are probably one of the more fluid parts of the formal prayers of the Mass, because they are meant to address what's happening in the community or the nation or the society in which the faithful live. That's why we pray for the dismantling of Planned Parenthood, that terrible, evil organization that is causing massive harm to motherhood and to true femininity. That's why we pray for when there are natural disasters. We pray for our military. We pray for our homebound parishioners. We pray for those who are dying. In the parish, we're allowed to move and add a certain fluidity to that. The idea is that after the word has been proclaimed, the people of God have declared their faith, have found that conviction from the apostolic preaching, they now offer the prayers in particular that they want to place before God as the liturgy of the Eucharist is about to begin. So oftentimes, the prayers of the faithful are prepared by the priest or deacon, oftentimes the one who's preaching or one who is serving at the liturgy. I don't like some parishes where they get the little book, right? The book was published a year ago, 2 years ago. Sometimes they even recycle the book. It kind of kills the nature of the prayers of the faithful, right? I think a priest or deacon can take a couple of minutes to time in order to say, what's happening in our country? What can we pray for? Because the prayers of the faithful are meant to be, again, more applicable. They, again, are the parts of the formal prayers of the church for what's happening. Because we, of course, know when there's a great disaster, or part of our country's suffering, or our community's suffering, or a part of our faith is under attack, or vocation within our faith is under attack. We want to offer specific prayers. The prayers of the faithful is the church giving us this opportunity. Regrettably, again, I think that this opportunity is passed over in a lot of parishes. The priests or deacons, they just won't take the time to sit down and say, what's happening in my community? What's happening in my country? What's happening in terms of the cultural interaction around us? And what do we need to pray for? That's the spirit that should motivate the prayers of the faithful. Incidentally, as the prayers of the faithful are being offered formally in each of our hearts, we can be offering our own intentions, right? So we offer the intention at the beginning of Mass, a formal intention in our hearts, but during the prayers of the faithful, we could be praying for others. In particular, that as the priest and the deacon are about to prepare the altar for sacrifice, we want to present these petitions, these desires, these needs before God right when the Eucharist is about to begin. So I encourage you, make sure you use the prayers of the faithful well. And I know, as some Catholics have told me, oh my goodness, Father, there's like 8 petitions, 10 petitions, 12 petitions. I feel like we're praying for the entire world. In fact, they don't even pay attention. In a lot of parishes, before the pandemic, people missed the prayers of the faithful because they were too long, too exaggerated, too generalized, and oftentimes they were trying to get the money out of their purse or pockets getting ready for the offertory, right? But let's not miss the prayers of the faithful. First, what's being offered formally from the AMBO, because here at Our Lady of Grace, we prepare our prayers of the faithful. The deacon during daily Mass puts a lot of effort into our prayers of the faithful. On the weekends, I take the time to pray and prepare the prayers of the faithful. What are the needs of our community, of our country, of our faith, of our culture? So I ask you to please pay attention. Here at Our Lady Grace, we try to follow the wisdom of the church. Mother Church anticipates no more than 6. 4 to 6 petitions, short and sweet, right? See, Mother Church is a good mother. She knows when her children are inclined to distraction, right? So get to the point, sit down, let's begin the sacrifice. That's the prayers of the faithful. Dear friends, guess what? With the prayers of the faithful, we have now concluded the liturgy of the word. So we had the introductory rites. We have just walked all through from the first reading to the prayers of the faithful, the liturgy of the word. We sit down after the opening collect. Lord, speak to me. Lord, your servant is listening. The first reading, prepare my heart. The psalm, preparing for the new covenant, the new revelation. The gospel and New Testament reading, Lord, complete me, fulfill me. The apostolic preaching, to receive conviction. The creed, to stand up for our Lord and declare our faith. And then the prayers of the faithful. Lord, remember these as we offer these petitions, as we offer this sacrifice. That is the liturgy of the Eucharist. Excuse me, the liturgy of the word, right? Liturgy of the word. That used to be called, before the Reform, some of you might remember this, the Mass of the Catechumenate. Right? This is the place where the unbaptized properly should be, right? In the early church, after the liturgy of the word, the Mass of the Catechumens, all the unbaptized would be asked to leave, right? In the new RCIA, that's an option. Now, here in the United States, we don't practice that because it just flies in the face of most Americans, right? We could explain it 1,000 times, but can you imagine if I were to stand up at the end of the liturgy of the word and say, now if all the baptized, you can go and get out, right? But that's an option provided now for those who are preparing to receive baptism, right? So again, the church is trying to retrieve this notion that after the liturgy of the word, we enter the most sacred, most sublime, most wondrous reality in human history, that we will offer the sacrifice in which the Lord Jesus represents his sacrifice to the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we, the baptized, get to be a part of that. So we conclude the liturgy of the word, the Mass of the Catechumens. Tomorrow, we start the offertory.